welcome Lift Church to Small Group Sunday. Come on. Yeah, let's celebrate up in here. This is a big day. There's something ringing, my friend. Terrence, can you make sure that's muted? I have ADD, and I'm self-diagnosed. I don't really know if I have that or not. My wife's probably going, don't say that. I haven't been diagnosed with that. Anyway, Small Group Sunday, welcome to Lift Church for that. This is our very first time. In case you didn't know, January 27th of this year, we launched Lift Church right here in this room. And it has been an awesome ride. This is the very first time that we're launching small groups, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today, but we don't want to be a church with small groups. We want to be a church of small groups. We truly believe that being in a small group is going to be enhancing and a blessing to your walk. In fact, Lauren and I, my wife and I, we are in a small group, and I just want to encourage you, it is for everybody. But just to follow up on one or two of those announcements, I am so excited about Serve Tuesday. One of the things that we do as a church is we serve often. We are trying to get to the point where once a month we're serving. I heard one leader of the church say this, that as a church we want to constantly be flexing our serve muscle, or else it gets a little bit weak. And we as the church are not called to just have Sunday parties. We are called to go out and serve. Here at Lift Church, we are about three things. He lifts, I lift, but if we understand that, then the natural next step is we lift together. And so we begin to link arms together and get out into the community. That yellow part on the screen tells you that if you go to your app store, if you haven't already, and download the app Serve Day, it's the same app we used about a month or two ago when we went out and did seven projects around Salisbury. So if you have that app already, log into it again. And if you don't, would you download it right now, and you'll find once you log into Lift Church, you're going to see the Chipman Elementary Serve, and you can go right on there, click it, and say, add me to the project. And that way we'll know, hey, you're in. We can count on you. We're going to be doing some awesome things. I'm just excited about getting into the school and lifting up the name of Jesus. I can do that by high-fiving better than anyone else in the facility. I can do that by bringing the love of God into that place. It's going to be like an open house day, so they're going to be barbecuing up some hot dogs. You want to watch me wrap it up in aluminum foil and hand it to you like the best of them? Come on, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it with bells on, with smiles on, with love on. And so we're going to be helping the teachers any way we can. We're going to be serving the school, making it a welcoming environment, not just for the administration, not just for the teachers, but I'm also believing for the parents, that when they come, that they're going to have, you know how nerve-wracking it is, especially when you go to a new school. And as a parent, you're coming in trying to figure it all out. As kids, you're trying to figure it out. How cool to have our amazing greeting team out there high-fiving, saying, today is going to be the best day. High five. Get down. Come on. We're going to do that together. And I believe other schools are going to go, hey, what y'all did for Chipman Elementary, can you do that for us next year? I think that'll be awesome. So sign up for that. And then last but not least, next week we're starting a new series. It's a money series. It's about making change. This, you know, a lot of times we get nervous when we start talking about money in church. But there is not going to be a special offering during this series. This is not prepping you for anything. I believe that something we all have to make decisions on daily is dealing with money. And the Bible has a ton to say about it, but we oftentimes don't get much education, direction on that. So I am excited about this. In fact, I'm pumped that my lead pastor from Louisiana is flying up on the last one, October 6th. You're going to want to mark your calendars. Pastor Scott Bledsoe is going to be here. It's going to be Lyft's first guest speaker in the pulpit. It's going to be an amazing day. So you'll get some of these on your way out. They're not just for you. They're for the people you know who are broke. No, I'm just joking. I'm just there for anyone you know who deals with money on a regular basis. That probably should cover everybody. So let's get into this morning's message. I want to pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are. And I thank you for coming into our lives. I thank you that you've already been moving in this place. There's been people making decisions for you, feeling your presence, God, and I thank you that we don't do this thing alone. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's moving in the room, and I just pray that as we open your word, that you would speak to our hearts. Write your word upon our heart that we might not sin against you, God. Move us into who you want us to be. Mold us, shape us, change us, make us more into your image. In Jesus' name we ask. And everyone who agrees with that can say,
Amen.
If you got your Bibles, go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. I'll be reading out of the NIV version of the book of Acts, and I might even swap over to the Message version later on. But the book of Acts chapter 2, I want to set up what is going on in the book of Acts. I oftentimes thank God that I live in a New Testament time. If you've been able to explore the Old Testament, this is a brief flyover of what it says. Every single human being is a sinner, and you're in need of a Savior. Now, you can attempt to try to figure that out on your own. You can try to be good. Mankind was like, let us do it on our own. We want to be our own people. And God said, okay, cool. Here's the Ten Commandments. Try it. Thou shalt not kill. And you're like, oh, I got that one. And you're like, no, but if you've ever said stupid to someone or you idiot, it is the same as killing them. And so that would make you a murderer in that time. And you're like, oh, that's tough. Okay, try this one out. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. You should honor the Lord your God and never use his name in vain. Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And they're starting to go, stop. How many of these do we have to keep? Like, you know, 6 out of 10? And he said, no, 10 out of 10. In fact, if you break any of the hundreds of laws, you've broken them all. And so if you've broken one, there's a fix for that. You just have to go into your backyard, take one of your sheep, take one of your lambs, take one of your goats, take one of the anything that baths out there, right? Nah, go grab that thing. In fact, you actually have to lay hands on it. As you bring it to the temple, I love how there were times where they would have to lay hands on it as if to say, may all the guilt in me, the things I've done, be transferred to you. Look at it eye to eye. An innocent lamb who is now going to pay the price for your guilty soul. And so you go ahead and bring it in, and they're going to kill it, and they're going to slaughter it. It gets all bloody, and it's like, whoa, I'm just so glad it's not bloody like that anymore. But can you imagine some of us, our backyards would be thinning out really quick, right? Why is the grass getting so high? Because, honey, you won't quit sinning. Everything that eats the ground, we've had to take to the temple day after day because of your issues, right? And can you imagine how costly that would be? I mean, people be broke. They need making change, right? And that's why Jesus came. And so Jesus comes and he says, I'll pay the price for you. And he pays the ultimate price. Now, he does things that other men could never have done. He has been tempted in every single way that you and I have been tempted, except he went without sin. In fact, human beings started beating him, cursing him, calling him names, spitting on him, and they crucified him. And yet, after he was dead, he lived again, something humans have never been able to accomplish. We could try all the age-defying creams you can find. He was the only one who actually defied the grips of death. And this is what I love. He said, the same spirit that lives inside me, that helped me conquer that, I'm going to make that available to you. And that's what we talked about last week. So check out that sermon if you missed that one about the Holy Spirit being alive in us. And so now we live in a time where the Holy Spirit is with us. It's not, God, where are you? Like the Old Testament, you're the big man upstairs, but I'm trying, but I'm failing a lot. Then it goes to God with us. He's walking beside us. And now we live in a time where we can have God inside of us, the Holy Spirit, living and moving and breathing inside of us. And The disciples had just lost Jesus at the top of Acts 2. He is crucified, and they're like, what do we do now? And Jesus said this, don't do anything until you've gone and prayed, and I will send you a gift. And when that gift arrives, you will know it, and then it's game on. It's time to accomplish the destinies that I have for you. It's time for you to become the carriers of the great purpose of God. And this is when the church begins to be built. I love the church. I am in love with the church because it is the hope for all humanity. When Jesus said, I've got one plan and I'm going to put it into a bunch of screw-ups called the church. Because when they gather and then when they come after me, they bestow in them the hope for all humanity. All struggling people can find hope in the church. And I know the church, sometimes it's got its issues, but I get so excited because God has said it's game on. And this is what happens. The disciples get filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in tongues, and people think they're drunk. And Peter goes from being a coward to all of a sudden standing up. I love the scripture. It says, then Peter stood up. He was like, enough's enough. I hid when you crucified my Jesus. I was a coward. I ran away and I cussed the slave girl when she said, don't you roll with him. I was at a fireside and I ran away. I was a coward. But now that you're talking about me and my boys saying that we are drunk, it's 8 a.m. I love his argument. It's 8 a.m. We must be some messed up individuals if we're drunk by 8 a.m. That is not what has happened here. And he stood up and he begins to preach a message for the first time. He unveils the timeline of the Old Testament like I just did, talking about how Jesus was the one. And I'm telling you, he must have been feeling some sort of Pentecostal fire whenever he was up there. Because it says in Acts 2:36, he finishes with this, so let all Israel be assured of this. He was probably using after every three words. Let all of Israel be assured. Assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, come on, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And then I wonder if he stopped and went, did I just go that direct? That's right. He made this Jesus whom you crucified. God, I can imagine him going, him singing, you crucified. And I bet Bartholomew's in the back going, boy, what happened to Peter? Did he just point at them, sing you, stomp his foot, and say, you the killer of Jesus Christ. And it's like, oh, this is getting really intense. It must have worked because the people were so moved that they wanted to change. And so here's my big question with the time I have left. What happened next? What happened next? The power of God comes. This is the first sermon that is like the catalyst of the new church. What does the church do next? It says in the Message Bible, verse 41 and 42, that day about 3,000 took him at his word, were baptized, and were signed up. Now, I know sometimes people get a bad rep whenever a church begins to count numbers, but God counts numbers. His disciples counts numbers. And I wonder sometimes if we have a grid for this anymore. Is there anybody in here who would have the faith with me to begin to believe? I don't just want to have 3,000 at church. I want to see 3,000 get saved on one day. God, like, what does that look like? In America, I want to see it more often. I've heard that it happens in Africa. I've heard that it happens in Asia. I want to see it in my time on our soil. I want to see my friends and my neighbors come to Jesus Christ. There's 400,000 people in the Salisbury metro area. 62.5 of them don't have a church home. That means there's 250,000 people who don't know Jesus. If 3,000 got saved on one day, that would be amazing, and we'd still have our work cut out for us. We can't dream small. The church cannot settle on, well, I like it this size. Well, it can't happen every week. I'm believing for salvation every week. Our prayer team believes for salvation every week. We're believing that people are looking for the solution in Jesus Christ. They can only find it. They were baptized and they signed up. And then they 3,000 were added to the church and they started small groups. Look at this. It says this. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. There's four tasks that they committed to do together from that point forward. They committed together to growing together, to doing life together, to eating together, right, and to praying together. I think it's important. I think God's trying to drive home this point that you can't do it alone. He wants you to do it together. Can we say together, together? Together. Hey, if he's going to point out in succinct order four things that needs to be done together, then I believe that God wants us to be together. And the enemy wants to say, listen, you can do your Sunday thing. Just keep it to yourself. Just keep it a Sunday from this time to this time, and then go back to your bedroom, or then hide it when you're in your dorm, or then hide it when you go to work, or when you go to your different environments. But let's let this time just be this time. And I believe that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to isolate. He wants to cause us to be in a place where we're doing it all by ourselves. I read a biography not too long ago. It's written about the boys in the boat by Daniel Brown. In 1936, nine Washington University collegiate students who were nobodies by themselves were picked to be in a rowing boat together to represent Washington University. They became something special when they began to row together. On their own, they weren't accomplishing anything and they weren't going very far. But when they got together, it says that there were some wrestling matches at times. The boy in seat one didn't always get along with the boy in seat three, and the same thing with five and six. But they learned to row together. And this is what I learned in that book. It's an inspiring book. I really encourage you, if you like biographies, check it out. But this is what they went on to compete for: the Berlin Olympics. And in front of Adolf Hitler, they brought home the gold trophy for America in the nine-man rowing competition. It was just nine collegiate young men. And this is what it says, that every rower knows that there's a term called the swing. And they are just practicing all week long to find the swing. And what's the swing? The swing is the point where you move from being nine individuals in a boat to where you get so harmoniously locked together that all of a sudden some sort of power drops on that boat. And they even say that coaches say that you can lower your row rate and still pass others up because you found the swing. I think that small groups are like a boat for a rowing team. And I think that when you find a place of belonging, all of a sudden, it might take a week or two, but when you start rowing together, when you start going in the same direction together, you're going to find a swing where all of a sudden, it's like that fresh air we were talking about in that last series, where it's like, come on, man, I feel like I'm going somewhere. Before, I was doing it on my own. I was sweating it out. I was working really hard. Now I'm in a boat with nine other people, and all of a sudden, it's like, I can lower this work rate, and I feel like I'm going further, faster.
Yes.
I'm going somewhere with God. See, we need to be the type of people who get into small groups. I know many of us are saying, that's not me. I'm an individualist. I don't like the whole group time. And for the love of God, if someone asks me to share from my heart at the end of it, I'm going to throw up somewhere in the bathroom, right? But then you know that whenever you've pushed yourself and you've done it, you oftentimes walk away going, I really needed that. I've pushed against it. I've been in environments where don't make us share. Don't make us share. How did this one affect your life? Oh, somebody asked. I passed. The early church most definitely knew about the swing. Do you know that it's statistically recorded that over the next 200 years, the early church would grow from as few as 25,000 people in the year 100 AD to over 20 million by 310 AD. That's just 200 years. They went from 20,000 to 20 million. How do you get 20,000 Christians to to multiply to 20 million in just 200 years. Growth like that's never been recorded. They committed to doing four things together. They committed to growing together, doing life together, eating together, and praying together. So this is how small groups look around here. It's 13 weeks from today, starting today through December 7th. We don't want you to feel locked into a group forever where you start making creative ideas to get yourself broken up with your small group. Like, hey, I'd like to start, you know, trying out other groups, right? And so they're like, can you bring the dessert this week? And you bring like a strawberry beet pie because you're just trying to get kicked out of that group because you are so tired of studying what they have been studying forever. In a day, you know, you're locked into Leviticus lovers and you're like, can we please get out of Leviticus January through June with Job? And you're like, oh my goodness, can we get out of the book of Job? I'm just gonna quit showing up. And they'll start going, hey, they'll forget. We do stupid things to break up with small groups, so let's make it easy. We're going to break them up at the beginning of December so that we can all experience Christmas and that season with all of its demands and be with our family as school begins to slow down. And then we'll launch up another 13-week semester and you can join a different one or you can go back to the same one. It doesn't matter. It gives you an easy out so you don't have to say, hey, it's free market. There's men's groups, women's groups, marriage groups, parenting groups. There's serve groups. There's prayer groups. You can find a place that works for you in the lobby. They meet weekly at different times and locations throughout the week and throughout the city. So there's bound to be something where you can say, hey, that's where I want to be and that's where I belong. I look at Acts 2 again. It says in verse 46, they followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Do you notice it wasn't just time in the temple and it wasn't just time at home? They weren't an either or Christian. I either go to the church or I do church at home. They were a both and. We're going to be learning at the temple and we're going to be learning at home. And it says that every meal, a celebration, exuberant and joyful. Notice the joy and the attraction of these groups. This wasn't like drudgery. This wasn't like, come on, you have to show up because if you don't have the attendance, then God's going to be mad with you and he'll send fireballs and lightning your direction. No, 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 no. This isn't the turn or burn groups, right? Why don't you come to my group? It's called turn or burn. And you're like, I prefer not to. Thank you. This was instead the groups that are just like, come on, we're doing life together. You want a meal? I'm telling you, you offer a meal, every college kid will show up if it's free. If it's free, it's like, is it free? I'm there. I'll eat whatever it is. You serve me spaghetti every single week. When I was in college, I needed some money. I needed to make some change. And so I come to your small group and learn. It says they had celebrations, exuberant and joyful. You know, some of our groups are just based on laughter. Let's just get together and laugh. I love it. So one of them is a basketball group. Let's just shoot some hoops because no matter what it's about, we're always going to have ESPN in there. Four things similar to the four things you saw. There's going to be encouragement. There's going to be some scripture. There's going to be prayer. And there's going to be trying to move on our spiritual journey to the next level. So that's the ESPN. And in some of those, it's going to be a smaller dose. And then let's roll out the jokes. And for others, it's going to be a deep dose because we're trying to go deeper in the Bible and history or in some sort of study. It says this, that every meal was a celebration. It was attractive. It was exuberant. It was joyful as they all praised God. And people in general liked what they saw. I think Salisbury's going to like it when we do life together and all of a sudden they see the joy coming flooding out. Every day their number grew as God added those who were being saved. And so I love this. I get so excited about seeing Acts 2 happen here. And so I'm intentionally going to land this plane 10 minutes early because I believe it's important for us to find small groups. I'd love to see every single person find a place to belong. If you don't have a moment to check out the tables, which we're gonna end 10 minutes early, just so that you can go check out the tables. But there's also the opportunity to just go on our website right now, liftsby.com, and you'll see /small groups, or you'll find the button for that. You can also shop for the small groups right then and there and see each one of them, and you can sign up to be a part of them right there from your phone. So I'm going to pray for you right now, and we're going to end church a little early. Some of you can nudge and go, man, we're done already? Come on, this is a good Sunday. And others of you are like, oh, I want more. There will be more next week. Come on, we got every Sunday to do this together, but I want to pray for you right now.